It's the International Women in Film Podcast with your host, Michelle the Trainer. MTT is Michelle the Trainer.
Aloha and welcome to episode 3 of the International Women in Film Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle the Trainer. Hey, our very special guest star today is Rebecca Forstadt, who's been a friend of mine like forever, but we've never had a chance to talk about her voice acting career because it's not like she's recording in front of me, right? So for 35 years, we've probably heard Rebecca's voice on several things, film, television, commercials. We'll talk about her animation, video games, audiobooks, anime, everything. She studied theater at Orange Coast College, the Lee Strasberg Institute, and an acting lab. She received the 2 Drama Log Award for Outstanding Performance as an actress in Ionesco's Tales with Eugene Ionesco in Residence and Leonce and Lena at Stage's Trilingual Theater in Hollywood. I couldn't get all that out. But even cooler, this trips me out. We talk about it a lot. But she appeared on camera in Muggsy's Girls with Ruth Gordon, Laura Branigan, and in Round Numbers with Kate Mulgrew, yes, from Orange is the New Black, current fame. You can find Rebecca online at Rebecca Forstadt, Forstadt like Linda Ronstadt, and www.rebeccaforstadt.com. If you guys have any suggestions, requests, interview requests for the podcast, you know how to find me. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Hey, this is Ashley Maria, the director of the documentary film Pioneers in Skirts. Visit pioneersinskirts.com to see more about our film, but keep listening to the International Women in Film Podcast with your host, Michelle the Trainer. She's cool.
Aloha, and welcome to the International Women in Film Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle the Trainer, and today our very special guest star is Rebecca Forstadt, F-O-R, S-T-A-D-T. She's a friend of mine. She lives in Los Angeles. She has a lovely voice and is a voiceover actress here in the big city. Rebecca, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Michelle. It's really exciting to be on your show.
I know. So, you know, all the time I've known you, I've never had a chance to ask you. So I'm going to ask you now, how did you get started with all of this?
Well, you know, I kind of have these secret lives, you know, different lives all over the place. So not everybody knows exactly what I do in different when I'm doing different things. I've been doing voiceovers for almost over 35 years, and I've been a member of the Screen Actors Guild since the early 80s, and I have an IMDb resume that has almost 100 credits on it right now. So it's kind of like my secret life.
That is a secret. I know, again, we see each other, and again, in Los Angeles, we're usually doing a lot of different things, and we see each other. We might know each other in one way or another, and it's not like, you know, I'm following people around town asking for voice samples. Maybe now I am. So how did it all, when did you first even realize that you had a voice that people would want for what?
Well, I was sort of born with this voice, but actually, I had studied acting. I wanted to be an actor really bad, and it started in high school. I did all sorts of plays and things. I worked at Knott's Berry Farm for 3 years doing melodramas. And then I studied theater at Orange Coast College, which was actually a really amazing theater school. And came to Hollywood and was trying to make it as an actress. For a while, I kind of segued off and was a wardrobe lady for a while. And then actually got into the union doing that. And then started doing some on-camera work. I was in a movie with Ruth Gordon and Laura Branigan, and another one with Kate Mulgrew. But I have this kid voice.
Laura Branigan? Really? That's amazing.
Yeah. So I have this kid voice, and I was looking at the Hollywood Drama Log, and I noticed that they were looking for kids' voices. So I checked it out, and it was a studio on Sunset Boulevard that was doing voiceovers for foreign cartoons. So I started doing these things, and they were called anime, which I had no idea what it was, except that I'd seen some things on TV when I was much younger, like Kimba the White Lion and Speed Racer and things like that.
But I love Kimba the White Lion.
Yeah, well, those things sort of went away for a while. You know, they were originally Japanese, and then they were dubbed into English.
I actually have a book by the animator somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a great show.
So anyway, I started working there and doing these kind of bizarre shows that I had no idea where they were going. And then one time somebody came in, and they wanted to produce a show called Robotech, which became a really huge anime. And I was the leading role. I played a part called Minmay, and she was a 16-year-old singer that saves the world with her voice. And anyway, we had no idea how popular it was going to be, but it became mega popular, and it showed on television, and they started sending me to conventions all over the world. And actually, I'm going to a convention in Phoenix next month to celebrate the 30th anniversary of it.
Wow. And we're curating these episodes. So next month to us right now on the production calendar is September 2015.
Right. Yeah. I do those occasionally, the conventions. And I've also done a lot of radio commercials, background voices in films, and some original animation like Hey Arnold and My Little Pony and things like that. You know, I've just been pretty much using my own voice. I haven't had to change it very much because people like that I sound like a real kid.
Yeah, listeners, I was asking her all kinds of questions. Do you have dialects? Do you have languages? She's like, nope, I'm just me. Yeah, it's really cool.
I hardly ever have to do anything different with my voice other than maybe sound a little bit younger. Occasionally I'll play a boy, but mostly I play little girls. You're lip syncing. The cartoon was already done in Japanese or sometimes another language, but mostly Japanese. And so I actually used to write scripts for this, and it was almost like solving a Mensa problem because you had to match the dialogue with the lip movements. So it was excruciating. I did it for about 10 years.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. I wrote scripts for Digimon, which was on television also, and did, you know, played parts in that too. So just been a lot. And Power Rangers, I did Power Rangers. And just if you look on.
And of course, the tech is different. I have looked at your IMDb. It's a very long list. In the day, did you ever work? Like, what was the work like? Did you work in a studio? Did you work from home? Were there kids and wild animals running around? I mean, give us an idea of what the scene was like. Because now, you know, like right now, we're in our own offices on Skype. And then you can, when you started this 35 years ago, you couldn't do that.
No, you couldn't. And the industry's changed a lot since then. We always went into a studio. We always had an engineer who knew how to set us up with a mic and all that. And just in probably in about the last, probably less than a decade, I think, a lot of voiceovers are done from home studios. So it's like all of a sudden you had to set up a home studio. You had to know how, if something sounded good, you know, you had to get all kinds of equipment and sound booths and things like
that. Did you do that?
I have a mic set up. I don't have room for a sound booth, but what a lot of people do is they'll record in their closet because the closet is filled with clothes and that buffers the sound. And it's a really great place to record.
Oh, because it builds in all the insulation. Well, yeah, because the price on audio equipment didn't go down even until the last year, 2 years. I mean, it was still, to create, you know, to build a studio was a big investment.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, now everybody's got a studio, whether they've ever been an actor or not, which is it's kind of alarming sometimes for voice actors. I mean, they've got some sites where some people are actually getting away with doing voiceovers for like $5, and it's pretty alarming, especially if you're in a union and you want to make a living.
Wow. So now you've got a podcast, right?
I do. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your new podcast.
Well, my friend Dr. Sharon Rosen, who's a chiropractor, but has also been a radio DJ and did traffic on the radio, we decided to start a podcast called Two Boomer Broads.
Yeah, she's my Sunday morning voice of traffic.
We've done almost 50 episodes so far. We do a weekly show that's about a half hour, and you can find it at twoboomerbroads.com and also on iTunes and Stitcher and all the usual places.
Yeah, and listeners, we're going to have both Boomer Broads on the Michelle the Trainer Show, absolutely, because Sharon's another just amazing person, and she's got an amazing voice as well. She's actually also a cantor.
Got one of those perfect voices. I have the squeaky voice, so.
Oh, you have an awesome voice, Rebecca.
Oh, thanks.
So how can everybody find you? So, okay, go back. I still got to ask about kids and animals and stuff. Did you ever have to share space? Were they ever looking for real? I mean, now it's so easy to get an animal noise, but 35 years ago, did you have to get a real animal for an animal noise or go visit a farm or
I mean, you know.
We've come up with all sorts of different sounds. I mean, one time I played a cockroach and, you know, I've played all sorts of little animals and things. I have had to compete with real kids because obviously a lot of people like to use real kids, but they don't want to always have a studio teacher. Disney, for example, always uses real kids.
Yeah, do you guys understand that? When children work in Hollywood, they still have to go to school. And so they have what we call studio teachers, who are teachers that are, they usually are full-time in the studio because it's not an environment that works well for everyone. It's like a super homeschool tutor by today's standards, and they usually have several kids that they teach. It's a great gig. It's a great gig for a teacher.
Yeah, and I already come potty trained.
I didn't think of that.
But I've had some kids that were really pissed off at me because, you know, they'd see me in an audition and they'd go like, well, you can't be going up against my part. You
wow,
know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they get all upset because, you know.
Wow, the mini entitled. That's heavy.
Yeah. But I've actually replaced kids' voices in films because sometimes they'll do an independent film and they'll shoot it in an area where somebody's got a really heavy accent or the kid just can't act at all. He's cute but can't act. And then I'll go in and completely replace their voice because my voice sounds more like a real kid than a cartoony kid.
And your intonation and your pronunciation is very clear. I could see where you could lose that if you're shooting outside.
When I play a kid, I have to kind of lose that part of it. I have to talk like a kid, which is not very enunciated. It took a while to read big words, you know, doing voiceovers because I was so used to just doing kid stuff.
That's so funny. So, okay, so for voiceover work, where can we find you?
My website is RebeccaForstadt.com. It's F as in Frank, O-R-S-T-A-D-T, and it's like Linda Ronstadt. It was not necessarily a stage name, but it's just what I came born with, so.
Excellent, and then we can look you up under IMDb as Rebecca Forstadt as well, correct?
Right.
Okay, great, Rebecca. Well, thanks so much, and you guys be sure. I'll send you the link also when we do the Boomer Broads episode on the Michelle the Trainer Show. You can find Rebecca at Rebecca Forstadt on IMDb. You can find her at her website, Rebecca Forstadt. And you can find her at, it's two Boomer Broads, right, on iTunes?
Yes, it
cutest,
is.
Cutest logo ever.
Number two Boomer Broads.
Number two Boomer Broads. Yeah.
That sounds dirty, doesn't it?
I'm not touching it. This is a family show. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think my show is necessarily a family show. All right, hon. I'll talk to you later. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Michelle.
Find us at michellethetrainer.com. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, the T-R-A-I-N-E-R.com. Read Michelle's blog posts at engineeringwellness.com. Tweet at Michelle Trainer on Twitter. That's MICHELETRAINER. Or email the International Women in Film Podcast at IWIF@michellethetrainer.com.